Big Tech.
If you've wandered down to your local club for a schnitty and a schooner recently, then chances are you could be at risk of identity theft. And you're not alone either. This is not hyperbole. More than 1 million customer records, including senior government officials from at least 16 licensed New South Wales clubs, have been released online in a potential data breach. The website also claims to have the records and personal information of senior government figures, including the New South Wales Premier Chris Minns, Deputy Premier Prue Carr and Police Minister Yasmin Catley. After 5 o'clock, I'll be speaking with the New South Wales Minister responsible, Jihad Dib. But for now, Josh Taylor's a tech reporter for The Guardian Australia. Josh, how did this breach happen? And I understand a couple of unhappy software developers from the Philippines were involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's still sort of something that's subject to the police investigation, but it looks as though the company, which is Outerbox, has outsourced some of its work to some people in the Philippines, and they claim that they've not been paid, and as a result that they decided to take action against the company and basically anyone who had their information held by this company and posted these records online into basically a searchable database. So it's probably worth noting that like the website itself, you can just put in names and it'll tell you if you're in the database or not and things like that. But people have been able to sort of test the back end of it essentially, and it has all the information there. So there's stuff including sort of like license numbers and license information and stuff like that as well. So it is a fairly substantial data breach today.
So it's a bit like a builder not getting paid and they sort of smash down the wall, but except they're putting up the details so that they can prove that they haven't been paid. So What kind of, you said that the details of some of these sort of government ministers were accessible. Does that mean that the Premier Chris Minns' personal data is readable on this site, or is that obscured?
I haven't verified that one for myself, but I reckon it's probably very similar, whereas like I imagine that a lot of people who were reporting on that together basically just chucked in some names that were quite prominent and figured it out from there. So it's fairly likely that, politicians, prominent people in the community are just as subject to it as everyone else. And I think that's obviously something they're going to be looking through in the next couple of days, just how many people are affected and what the extent of it is.
We're getting pretty used to these sort of data breaches, sadly. Medibank, Optus, how do they, this one compare? I mean, in the depth of data and the breadth of the data, a million customer records and pretty sensitive government-issued ID numbers. How do you compare these data breaches?
It's probably, I mean, it's on a lower scale because, I mean, it is a lot of records. It's a million records, but it's basically just people who've been going to these clubs and have had to register providing ID and things like that. So it is, the number of people that are affected are much lower, but it just sort of shows, I mean, all you need in a lot of these cases now is basically one supplier to have something go wrong for them, and so many people are affected because a lot of these companies, a lot like clubs, all those sorts of things, they tend to outsource a lot of their IT, and if one bit fails, then it affects a whole lot more people than we might have realized.
Let's move on to potentially the next government data headache, the one where governments plan to trial a pilot of age verification to prevent children accessing pornography online. No doubt a valiant aim, but it comes with some technical difficulties. The eSafety Commissioner has previously suggested the system would use electronic tokens granted by trusted private providers once a person's age is proven. I mean, could systems such as these not also face the same fate as Clubs New South Wales, only on a national scale?
Well, I think they'd probably try to avoid it. I mean, the eSafety's version that they were talking about, they were saying that your personal information would basically live on your device, and therefore neither the porn company nor the company that's sort of verifying you would know that, like, what you're looking at or who you are, essentially. So they're saying that that would potentially reduce the risk of that happening. And they've also flagged that that it might potentially work with the digital ID system, which is the government system that's currently in development. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we don't actually know that this is what they're going to end up doing. I've been asking the government about it today, and they've sort of indicated to me that it's far too early to say what they're planning to use. But I think that a lot of people will be worried that if they do something where you've got companies holding your personal information, particularly like the websites that you want to be able to view online or like anything like that, that does start to raise a lot of questions about how people's personal privacy will be maintained. So I think that this is something that I think is going to be worked out when the eSafety Commissioner develops the trial and tests it out, basically.
A couple of US states have gone down this path, and it's an extremely vexed situation when you're trying to ascertain and verify the age of minors who don't traditionally have forms of government ID. Plus, also, there's the concern of creating a honeypot of data of, based 100% on children, which... Yeah, certainly is a big concern. And anyone who's scrolled through Twitter recently will know that pornography has really infiltrated all corners of the internet. We've seen in recent weeks how difficult Elon Musk can be when it comes to government regulation. How much of an uphill battle is the government facing when it comes to rolling out this program, when it comes to criticisms by privacy advocates?
I think that's probably one of the big things. I mean, eSafety's own data, when they did this research last year, said that teenagers between the ages of 16 and 18 reported seeing more pornography on Twitter than they did on actual pornography websites. So that the scale of this problem is huge. And you're right that we've seen in recent weeks that Elon Musk and X are no longer really cooperative with what eSafety wants to do. So it's hard to see a situation where not just X, but global pornography sites, basically every site on the internet where you can access porn, will cooperate with some sort of ID system. It's really got to try and they either have to go up higher and either go onto people's devices or onto people's web browsers and things like that, or to the internet service providers. It's really difficult to see a situation where a lot of these companies are going to be complying with what a regulator in Australia wants to do.
Mm-hmm. With the launch of all these new AI products, the conversation has been reignited about the dead internet theory. I'm fascinated by this. Tell me, what is the dead internet theory?
This has been a long-running sort of theory about the internet that basically the internet died in 2016, and that we've reached a point where bots are generating all the content that people see and do online, and it's designed to manipulate the real world, and there's no one actually really real on the internet, and you know, people are just being manipulated by it, which is, I mean, if you see some of the stuff that tends to go viral on Facebook and things like that now, I'm not too surprised that that theory is currently getting more traction. You're getting a lot of just weird memes and AI generated content starting to sort of float up, and a lot of people sort of sharing that sort of stuff. And there are some sort of weird aspects to the conspiracy theory, but for example, like they're saying that it's designed by the government to coerce people and make people think certain ways. But I think, you know, as we were sort of talking about earlier, if government had that much power and that much control over the population, I feel like we know about it.
It sounds like this is getting into the conspiracy end of things. The recent cybersecurity company report from Imperva says that half of all the internet traffic came from bots last year. So that could be less of a conspiracy. What do you think?
A little bit. I think a lot of it now is also just how much, you know, you've got AI companies now scraping the internet to build their systems and basically learn from everything that's posted online. And I think a lot of that would come down to that as well. I think, and I mean, you know, we can talk about X again, but even though Elon Musk has been really talking a lot about, you know, part of his reason for buying the platform was about reducing bots, there are more bots on there than ever. So I think there's probably a little bit of something to it, but I think a lot of the bot activity that's going on online, we're probably not seeing firsthand.
Yes, what is real, asked the rabbit one day, as the famous quote goes. Great to talk to you, Josh. Josh Taylor is a tech reporter for The Guardian Australia. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.